I'm Jimmy Dura, host of All Things Veterinary, a podcast that connects and unites the animal health community with ideas and innovation, topics to inspire you and energize your day. Hello and welcome to another episode of the All Things Veterinary podcast. Today we are thrilled to welcome in Dr. Zach Mills from Tiger Tails Animal Hospital. Dr. Mills has a really interesting background and neat career. He's been in the vet industry for 41 years approximately, attended Clemson University undergrad, which I'm going to ask
Tigers.
Uh-oh, here we go. It's early and he's already jabbing. He went to Georgia Vet School. And after vet school, he went and joined a senior veterinarian, if you will, as an associate, where he ended up working for several years before he bought the practice, kept the original owner on and had a great partnership there, kept and grew that practice with a couple partners. And then he actually found his way into the vet industry, kind of on the industry side with Muriel, where he worked for many years. How many years?
17.
17 years. And then in 2012,
right,
is basically the next step where you and your wife, Susan, opened Tiger Tails Animal Hospital and have had just a phenomenal run. And I want to ask you some of the history of this place and the experiences you've had. So thanks for joining us. Welcome in.
I'm glad to be here. This is going to be fun, I think.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So for our audience, the general topic that I want to get Dr. Mills into today is dentistry and general practice. I've had the opportunity to work with you and Susan here at the clinic for several years now. It's been a ton of fun, and you guys have a phenomenal reputation and a great culture. You know, from the outside looking in, did you guys intentionally, you know, have a strategy or philosophy that kind of set the tone for this hospital?
You know, we did. You know, back then there was... When we opened it up, it was before, you know, this big idea. There were studies that came out that were saying there's too many veterinarians. Mm-hmm. And it was not necessarily the profession to go into. Bayer had done a couple of different studies. And one of them was saying that they were kind of worried that there's going to be too many veterinarians down the road. And there wasn't going to be a return on the investment. But then they did another study that was going, what do the clients want? And, you know, so we took a lot of that, of what that study, and went in focused with that study. You know, they wanted things like wellness plans. They wanted to be with their pet when you're examining the pet. You know, they wanted to be explained what you were doing and why you were doing it. And they didn't want the dog on the table, especially big dogs. They wanted you to, you know, they wanted kind of a more friendly environment. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we built the practice the way we built it, you know, with more windows and stuff so people can see out and dogs could see out, and started with the wellness plans and all that, trying to take all that Bear had done and kind of show veterinarians at this point, you know, this is a great living. You can still be very successful as a veterinarian. And in these days and times, just got to provide, you got to do things a little different than what we were doing at that point. And it worked. The profession, we've gotten to be able to do more and more, learn more and more. The things we get to do now compared to, you know, dentistry back when I first got out of school, they didn't even talk about dentistry when I was in vet school. And now, you know, it's a major part of your practice. Yes. It should be a major part of your practice, because I think it affects the dog almost, you know, maybe heartworm prevention, flea and tick is still a very important thing. But, you know, it's one of the things you really got to spend time talking with your client about. All they know is, God, my dog's breath stinks. Why does my dog's breath stink? Well, you know, you got to talk to them about it. Why does it stink? And what are the health issues associated with those bad teeth? You know, just like with people, the number one reason for valve issues in people, besides defects, birth defects and stuff, is dental disease. It's the same thing with the dog. The number one reason for those murmurs to get worse, or murmurs to even develop, is dental disease, that bacteria that it's just getting into the body from the mouth. So when you talk about dentistry and you talk about prevention, you're making it so. What's our job? Our job is to make those dogs the most comfortable, live longer, healthier, happy lives. That's what I see our job as being. And, you know, yes, it's preventing disease. Yes, it's preventing diseases spreading from dogs to people, all that aspect. And that's part of the veterinarian oath. But the major thing is keeping dogs healthy and happy, or keeping cats healthy and happy. You know, cats in our practice are extremely important. We're 35%, 40% of our business is cats now. We're a little different. How did we grow our cat business? Very simple. We put a cat clinic right behind the regular hospital. And so now we basically have a dog hospital and a cat hospital that we work back and forth between.
I know, and you shared with us, dentistry is important. You mm-hmm. guys here, would you say 7, 8 full-time DVMs?
We're now, we're 7.
At 7, 8. Okay.
We're 7.5.
Okay. So, and I know from your business, you do approximately 4 to 6 dentals a day, something like that, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I know it's a passion. I know it's something you believe in, but how have you been so successful to get your clients or get your clients to follow your recommendation to be so active in this part of the keeping them healthy?
Again, remember, clients want, your job is to keep those pets as healthy as they can be and live as long as they can. And I make sure that I spend the time, I give them, first thing I always do, some people say, you don't need to start with the head. You need to start with the back end, that whole thing. I start with the head. I always do. And first thing I'll do is look at the mouth and look at the teeth. And that usually gets you into a conversation, because the first thing they're going to say is, yeah, the dog's breath's getting really bad. And then you can start the conversation of why it is. I always show them the mouth. Come here, look at this. Scratch your finger onto the side of the mouth. See that smelling? That's what you're smelling. You're smelling bacteria. And to me, dentistry is probably one of the most rewarding parts of the different things that we do for the dog and the cat. The reason why is it makes such a difference in their lives. Think about it. When you just get that little piece of popcorn that's strapped between the teeth, how much that's bothering you. Now, think about how much that's bothering you, and think about what you're looking at when you're looking at some of those dogs and those cats' mouth. When you see that red line up there, you see all that bacteria that's in there. You know, that dog hurts. That cat hurts. It is, it's gotten used to it. So it's not acting. Maybe it chews on one side of the mouth. Maybe drops the food occasionally. But that dog hurts. And when you go in and you clean that mess up, and if you have a bad tooth, you take that bad tooth out. All of a sudden, 2 weeks later, not the next day, but sometimes it is the next day. But 2 weeks later, once everything is healed, that dog is like a puppy again, or that cat is feeling good again and goes from being this cranky cat to being back to the happy cat it used to be. It was cranky because it was hurting, just like with arthritis, just like with other things. When that mouth hurts, they're miserable. They're miserable. And I think we talked about it a little bit before. The number one reason for valve issues getting worse is the mouth. And so it's just a matter of spending some time talking. Now, when it comes down to prevention, the aspect of the teeth and all that, and I tell clients, I don't brush my own dog's teeth. I'm honest with them. I'm not going to lie. I don't have time. It was hard enough to get my kids to brush their teeth when they were little, much less get the dog, have the dog sit there. But they're fabulous products on the market now. Dental chews, additives to the water that are effective, that work. And, talking with the clients about that, talking about what do you need to do to keep that mouth healthy from the beginning. And I tell them, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on talking about dentistry with my puppies, and I tell them that up front. I say, why? Because all these teeth are coming out. But I am going to tell you, the more you start, if you do want to brush your teeth, you got to start young. So if you're thinking about brushing the dog's teeth, you better start now. It's one of the most important things I look at. We grade the teeth. We decide what they need to do. And again, showing the mouth, going over why it is. And I can tell I love telling my clients, I've never done a dentistry on my dog. I never had to. Why? Because they all get an Orvet every single day. They use dental diet, or they used to use a dental diet all the time. Now I got two with food allergy, one with a heart problem. So no, I don't use the dental diet anymore. But there, I do these things where I don't have to worry about it. I can look at the dog's mouth. They can look me in the face, even the one that's the beagle that, what beagles like to eat all the time. But the mouths Oh, great. They're healthy. I don't have the tartar there. Is it worthwhile to clean teeth every 6 months? Some dogs, it is. You got to keep it. You got to look at how that tartar builds up. What happens to that mouth? You got to tell the client, you know, here it is. We're 3 months in and I got a mouth this bad. We got to think about maybe doing this every 6 months. Let's just plan on, let's recheck this dog every 6 months and see how things are going.
I love all those points. And I feel like one thing that comes through really easy and naturally from you is your conviction on in this part of their health. And I think in vet medicine, conviction equals compliance.
Oh, yeah.
And that having, and I feel like we in the clinic get beat down. I put myself as a yeah. clinic employee in
yeah,
my mind.
You are.
Because I feel like I am.
Yeah.
We get beat down by pet owners because pet owners have other challenges, but sometimes I feel like it's good to remind ourselves we're here to advocate for the pet. These are such important aspects of their health. And if we remind ourselves, it helps us go back into the exam room battle to fight for it.
You know, it talks about, we go back, it's called sales. Vets hate that term. There's some vets, but you know, every person is a salesperson. You're either selling your ideas, you know?
Yes.
If I'm an architect, I'm selling the plans that I've drawn.
Teacher in a classroom.
That's you. I'm selling education.
Yes.
You're selling the things that you believe in. If you have conviction in it, it's easy to sell it. And, you know, I've got conviction in dentals. And really, we all, as veterinarians, we should all have that conviction because it makes such a difference for the health of the dog. It really does.
One thing that you just made me think of, I've had this conversation hundreds of times with veterinarians. Most veterinarians that I've worked with and talked to, if they really believe in something, they will back it.
Mm-hmm.
And flip side is if they don't believe, they're true to themselves and they don't sell it,
right.
Or which is really neat. And I think it's good to lean into that sales.
That's it. It's like I said. Nothing wrong with the term sales.
No.
It's, and you're selling what's best for that dog,
mm-hmm.
or what's best for that cat. And the majority of clients, yes, I'm lucky. I'm a middle class area here. I've got people that at the practice, so that are, you know, on the lower scale middle class too. Yes, we've got the very rich clients, but sometimes the very rich clients are the hardest people to sell
no
it to.
No question.
And, you know, so you got to be able to make sure you have ways for those people that can't afford for a dental to begin with, some way for them to break up the prices. And whether you're using care credit, we use a lot of wellness plans because we sell an addition onto the wellness plan that covers the cost. You can pack it into a wellness plan.
Mm-hmm.
We've got over 1,200 pets on a wellness plan.
That's a lot.
The All Things Veterinary Podcast is sponsored by Patterson Veterinary, supplier of products, equipment, software, services, and essentials for your practice. Patterson goes the extra mile to make sure you get what you need quickly, develops ways to help your practice run a little better, and backs it all with legendary customer service. Find All Things Veterinary at PattersonVet.com.
In the exam room, specific to dentistry, do you have any closing phrases or, you know, Mr. Jones, can we go ahead and get that appointment scheduled today? Do you have any, you know, at what point do you get the yes from that pet owner, do you feel like? Is there a specific moment or is it?
It'll vary per client.
Okay.
It'll vary per client. You know, some of them you'll just go, well, you know, you look at it's a grade two, you know, it'd be nice to get it done. And I say, look, we need to get this done in the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and look at maybe scheduling it down the road.
You give them a little breathing room for today.
That's it.
They get an exhale.
Get exhale. And you get the breathing room
yes.
for there. And you set that up for that point. And the majority of times they'll keep it and go with it. But if it's one that's bad, that you know that dog is mm-hmm. uncomfortable. And, you know, you got to sit there and talk about it.
Yes.
You know, talk about what they feel in their mouth. Let them, you know, kind of remind them that, when you're, you know, if you've ever had, you ever broken a tooth, Tom? Oh,
yeah.
Mr. Smith, have you ever broken a tooth? Well, right now, this kid, he's got he split. And look at that. He has split that fourth premolar And there's a little piece, a little flap that's bouncing up. Now, he's not acting like it's hurting. Can you imagine how much that would feel? Usually I can get that dog scheduled for, you know, maybe I can't get it the next day, but get it next week or two and get that taken care of.
I think pet owners appreciate that, that when it's serious and it needs to be addressed now, you push for it.
You push for it.
But and back to our economic conversation, if you can prepare them a little bit in 6 months, within the next 6 months, we need to be prepared to do this. I think pet owners appreciate it. And mm-hmm. I think today there's a fear, and this is where I think your wellness plan is really beneficial. Mm-hmm. There's a fear of a pet owner. Gosh, I don't want to take my dog in. I know it's going to be $1,000 for this cough, or like we've kind of not in a bad way. It's just we're now charging a lot more appropriate in the industry, but there's still this gun shy fear of, And when you have something serious to their health, I think it does help to prepare them because you have a relationship mm-hmm. with them. This is important. We need to do this, but I want you to, you know, prepare and let's set it out in the future. But maybe you need to set aside some money, you know, whatever you need to do.
Whatever you need to do. This is what we need to do. And the time that we'll do it, you push them for when you really know it better be done by. And what I tell them typically, like if I've got that great day, I said, right now, you know, we're a 4-year-old dog, never had our teeth cleaned. And it's at a point where if within the next 6 months, I'm going to be able to clean this mouth and I probably won't have to pull anything. After 6 months, I can't necessarily say that. And so I said, if you want to keep, and people want to keep the teeth. They really do. It's amazing how much I now realize, no matter how bad that mouth looks, oh, how's he going to eat without the teeth? You know, and sometimes don't, you know, I'd rather have no teeth than teeth that hurt. But if there's a way to save the tooth, clients want that. A lot. Now, are they going to get a root canal on everything? Not necessarily, no. There's some that will, but it's not necessarily a root canal what is going to save the tooth. There now, you know, we got newer ways to be able to take teeth that are maybe mobile, even a little bit mobile, or and don't have enough bone that's coming up. There are ways now to help stimulate bone growth to get that tooth to stay in there and be a healthy tooth.
Can we talk about that specifically? Because yeah. you've been involved in a trial in mm-hmm. your clinic, and that's something that seems you've kind of done your whole career.
I kind of like to do it.
Yeah, it's neat. Fun. I've had several clinics that do it, and sometimes they can't. I can't know about it, which is kind of exciting. And,
you know, we've done clinical trials. We did clinical trials for Solensia.
Okay.
We did clinical trials for some products that never made it. We did some work on the new product, which Panaquil, that's the one for the pancreatitis. And I remember one dog I had in particular, I thought this dog was going to be a dead dog. And then the next day, that dog was dramatic. And you should have seen the blood work change. And, you know, this was when I knew, oh God, if this dog doesn't get the drug, I don't know whether it's going to get it or not. So this dog, I'm going to know if this dog gets the drug or not real easily. And it did. And it just made a huge difference. It made you a believer real quick. Silencia, it made me a believer real quick when you had that cat that, and it was my cat. It was a cat that we put in the study. They allowed us at that point to have, sometimes they'll let you put your animals in, sometimes they won't. But that cat, it could not jump over the gate, you know. So when the dogs were chasing in the house, it got carried away and the cat would be teasing the dog and want to take off. She couldn't go over the gate. She had to find another way. And we gave her that injection. And like 3 days later, that cat was climbing the wall. And, you know, I said, well, I know this cat got the drug. There's no question. You know, we didn't get that. So it's fun to do trials. They're a little bit of a pain. They're a little bit time taking, but they're fun. And the same thing happened with this product.
Restore us
that I got to do some things with it early. And my old boss from Mary Ellen got me involved in it. And he told me about this product and he was all excited about it. And he brought it in. And when he brought it in, we did a couple of dogs. One of them was his dog. And one was all those insides. It was typical dog. Insides were a little bit out getting exposed. And they were all loose. And I'm going, oh, this is typically where you just take it. Right. All right, we're going to have to pull these. And ended up packing it all around, putting the drug back in there, put the little tissue adhesive on top of them, thinking, okay, we'll see how this goes. And we went back and radiographed it 30 days later, and I think one more time at 90 days. And it's amazing. You could start seeing where bone was coming up. This actually regenerated bone, and it actually got that tooth, those teeth solid back into
it. That's awesome. So this is a gel. It's a piezoelectric gel.
Yeah.
You have those mobile teeth or a pocket.
You got a deep periodontal pocket. You know, oh gosh, I'm going to lose this tooth. You know, it would be typically, you got to think about, should I pull this tooth? Mm-hmm. Should I pull? Take the x-ray. Yeah, there's some bone recession. And God, I probably need to think about pulling it. But no, you take this, you clean that area out thoroughly, get the bleeding under control, pack it, do it, seal it up, come back and look at it. And it's amazing.
That's cool.
It's amazing.
Little pipette just squirts right up.
And it's easy to do. You know, you think, oh gosh, this is going to be hard. Nah, it's, you know, anytime you do something the first time,
yeah,
you always got to fumble around with it. But it's amazing. And, you know, when my vets saw it and we talked about it, we said, this stuff is fabulous.
Cool.
You know, because people will pay to save the teeth. Price-wise, what do we charge for dentistry? I think including getting every dental gets a radiograph.
Okay.
And I used to not do that, you know, and I realized, I remember going to a meeting and the vet, and you, every time you go to one of those dental meetings, say, oh, you got to do dental radiographs. And it's such a pain in the neck.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we started doing it and it was individual, you know, it's adding 15 to 20 minutes onto each dental. Then you got me something that helped change that too. We'll talk about that a little later. What we do typically, when we're dealing with using the new product, will client pay that much money to save the five teeth compared to pulling the five teeth in a heartbeat? In a heartbeat. Because I charge per 10-minute time period of surgery. I don't charge per tooth. I charge per 10-minute time period. I could have gotten all those incisors out within, you know, 10 minutes,
right.
Probably.
Right.
And all right, they're going to pay more for this. They'll do it in a heartbeat.
Sure.
You know, nothing's worse when, how many teeth did you have to pull? Well, I had to pull all those incisors, or I had to pull this one premolar in the back that had a deep pocket that, you know, it was going to get abscessed if we didn't.
And I think there's such a difference with delivering that good news. Here's what we were able to do to intervene and keep these teeth versus, unfortunately, we had to pull five teeth and, you know, and then you get all these questions about, do I have to change my dog's diet or, you know, recovery and so forth. And I'd say, depending on, or would you agree, depending on the grade, you know, sometimes the time to take out that tooth, like you might, if you had to section a tooth or something, mm-hmm. and sometimes I think the cost of this intervention could be the same or less.
Less.
Depending on,
you know, you look at that, you get that fourth premolar and you may, the bifurcate, you know, I what you use between the two roots, you know, yes. you can see the bone's not there anymore,
right.
You know, and yeah, you can get that probe. You can't see it necessarily, but you can get that probe pretty right. much underneath there. You know, that's a tooth that typically you got to take it out. You can save it now. You can save it. And, it costs a lot more for you to get that,
right.
You know, three rooted tooth out than it does to save it now.
I think a lot of veterinarians are going to be, once they get used to using it, excited.
Oh, yeah.
Taking those kind of teeth isn't always very pleasant.
Some of your worst nightmares.
Yes.
Right. Some, especially those bottom teeth.
Yes.
You know, right. Those canine teeth. The canine teeth, those are the miserable teeth to take out sometimes. You look at it, and sometimes you take out that tooth and you look at it and go, okay, I've taken this tooth out. Now I've got this huge hole. Am I worried about what to do? Well, I have now an option to be able to do with that too, because I can take this, put that gel down in the hole, seal it up, suture it up, and I'm going to get bone growth back in there. I'm not going to have that hole just stay there.
Right.
Okay. I can fill and I can stimulate and get a better, healthier jaw on the bottom. So not only can it help you save teeth, if you've got to pull that tooth and you want to make it so you have bone growth back in there, you can do it. So you can have that stabilization that you need.
That's neat. And you've gone back, you said, post 30, post 90 days. And what are you seeing with
bone
those
growth.
Teeth that you treated?
Those teeth, you're seeing more stable, number one. Definitely more stable. But two, you'll see, and you can even start seeing in 30 days where it's maybe a little difficult to tell, but you measure it out. There's bone growth. There's bone that's moved up a little bit. And you go back in 90 days, there's significant bone growth back up and through there. And you'll probably see, I know this company well that makes this. They're going to have some studies and pictures to show you probably, you know, maybe here's 120 days or something like that. Yeah, you're going to save that tooth. That tooth is going to stay and it's going to be healthy as long as they do something to keep the, you know, to keep it that way.
Right.
You know, okay, let's get back into the preventative aspect. What do you need to do? Yeah, if they will brush the teeth, that's great. And no, brushing the teeth by the groomer every 3 weeks is not brushing the dog's teeth. But if you find a way to do it, and there are ways, you've got to come up with ways that you believe in, that you can talk with the client. I'm not going to use the term sell, but you're going to have to sell it to the client that this is what you need to do, Ms. Smith, and this will work well. And if you believe in dentistry, I mean, in brushing, great. I believe in it. I'm just too lazy to do it.
Today's episode is sponsored by Phibro Animal Health Corporation, makers of Regensa Joint Care Chew for Dogs, and introducing Restoris, piezoelectric dental gel, which promotes alveolar bone growth and helps prevent tooth loss in dogs. Visit Regensa.com and Restoris.net for more information.
You know, you mentioned a little earlier, you know, taking radiographs, follow-up radiographs with patients. What has been your dental x-ray set up in the clinic? And, you know, what have you done and what are you doing now here?
You know, in the past, we mainly used the handheld and it worked good. But, you know, 20 minutes later, I get all my x-rays done.
Right.
We bought approximately, about 6 months ago, I think. We bought it from you. So we bought about 6 months and it's a panoramic view machine. Vet Imaging? I can't remember the
name.
That's
right.
Exactly. Vet Imaging made the company. But that thing has been beautiful because I get quality x-rays. It takes you a while to get used to the way it looks. It's a little different. It takes you a while to get used to it. But I get quality x-rays. In 5 minutes, I have it all done. And I'm looking at them. You know, it's a matter of setting the dog up exactly on the machine, you know, matching the two little lines up. Boom. You know, it takes it in 30 seconds. You've got it. Stand, you know, 6 feet away from the machine, and it speeds up the process. And, you know, it's all about getting it done quick enough so you can get those four or five done that also have, you know, maybe a couple of teeth to pull or something more extensive than a cleaning. Okay. And every once in a while, we have to pull out on some dogs, smaller dogs, maybe might have to pull out some individuals just to kind of see a canine just a little bit better or something like that. But most of the time, it's a beautiful thing. It speeds it up. It's all about time, y'all. You know it. You get paid for time and your knowledge. It's the time that it takes you to do things and the knowledge base that you have. So the faster you can do it, the more you can get done.
Nice. I bet the staff likes it too.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, because nothing worse than having your vet sit there and tapping his foot going, have you finished the x-rays yet? Come on. I want to go. Now, send it down. Boom. Usually it's, you know, I turn around. Oh, you got them done already? Perfect. Let's get looking.
You know, also something you had mentioned to me a while back is you like to rotate your staff in different areas of the hospital.
Yes. I think it's important. You know, you need to make sure that your staff, you know, I'm lucky. I've got a good staff of both in-house trained, but I got a lot of certified veterinary tech, licensed veterinary technicians. How we got them? Well, one of the things, work with your local tech school. Make sure that you're through one of those. They can do some rotations through you. It takes a little time to do that and work it, but you get to find the good ones and you can offer them a job. We offered one a job. They're not going to start till June, but they know they already have a job and they're going to start working on some weekends. But know this kid is, he looks for things to do.
Yeah.
You know, I hate people that stand around.
Yeah.
I like people that look, and he looks for things to do and he's knowledgeable. He's doing a great job. But I want to make sure that all my techs, you know, so that way one gets sick, one goes on maternity leave. You don't have one surgery tech that knows everything.
Right.
You have five techs that know everything because every day there's another tech that's doing something. And so you've got that ability to be able to rotate. So my techs will be a room vet tech, there'll be a treatment tech, and there'll be a surgery tech. My assistants will start off as a room assistant until they learn a little bit more. And as we train them, then they'll become a treatment tech or treatment assistant, excuse me. And then they'll come after that, we'll train them, start training them in the surgery. And what the assistants do is mainly monitoring, holding, but monitoring, cleaning instruments, packing instruments, taking that. You know, I don't want a technician's time really being done with that. You know, I want my technicians either with me when I'm doing something. I'm a lazy man. If I'm going to do a spay, I want a technician there with me. I want a technician holding that uterus up so I can get it done quick. That's just me. And I want I want my techs doing my dentals. I'll be there with them because I want to see what's going on. I'm going to be looking at the x-rays, but I always am going to be there. My technicians, they do the anesthesia. They calculate the drugs. You know, I've got to the point where I don't have to worry about checking them. They're better at me calculating doses and stuff. I decide, you know, we have a couple of protocols we stick with. I have, you know, one for the normal dog, one for the dog with a heart problem, older dog.
Sure.
And, you know, that way they're used to, this is the way I need to monitor, expect it. I'm using dextromethor and, you know, as one of my pre-anesthetics, they're expecting, okay, this dog's going to have a heart rate of 40. I'm not going to panic about that.
Right.
But like I said, it's nice. One goes on vacation. I've got three others that can do it.
Well, I know I could ask you questions all day, and I love hearing.
You know me, I can talk all day.
Well, that's why we make a good friendship, I think. But if you know, as we part, any other just kind of words of encouragement or advice that you may have for any other veterinarians or folks on the clinic side?
Three things. Probably number one. You know, always tell your staff when somebody asks you a question, somebody calls on the phone and, you know, it's late in the afternoon. They got a sick dog. Always think of it this way. If this was you that was calling, how would you want that taken care of? If you treat people like you want to be treated, you'll be successful. And you tell the same thing to your techs. Number two, pick something as far as like your preventative aspects. Pick a heartworm preventative, pick a flea and tick control. That's your major one. You might have one just in case a dog, but I've got one heartworm preventative, one flea and tick, and one combo product. So that way you control your inventories. You don't need 14 different non-steroidals. You don't need, you know, and everybody tells you this, but you kind of forget it. Next thing you know, you got them all on your shelf. You know, so when you want to try a new product, tell the sales rep, give me a little bit to try. Just give me a little bit to try. Do that. And, you know, whether it's a new shampoo, something else, you know, that is it something you want to put on the shelf? I want to try it first. I want to give it to one of my good clients and say, hey, call me up and tell me how this goes. Or, you know, here's a new dental treat. You know, here, give it to about four or five clients. How'd you like it compared to what I normally give you? And it allows you to make those decisions. And third, never get embarrassed on not being able to pronounce the name of a product,
right?
Because they're all made up words anyway.
That's right.
I can tell you, you know, it's amazing how we come up with these things. You know, because you have to have something that doesn't mean something strange in some other foreign language, because, you know, it's going to be the name of the product worldwide. And two, so you got to check it against other languages. But, you know, I get to some of these names, especially when I'm dealing with the generic name. And again, it's another made up word that I always pronounce it wrong. And you get another vet that laughs at you, or somebody says, that's not the way it's pronounced. I said, you don't know the way it's pronounced because it's pronounced whatever I want to say.
That's a really good point. There are a lot of, you know, I can think of brand names and company names that you hear different versions and it's all made up.
It's all made up.
It's not, there could be an intention behind it, but.
Try to learn something new every day.
Yeah.
And as old as I am, I'm an old guy, but as you know, if you try to learn something new every day, it's exciting. It keeps it fun. I'm lucky. I've had, you know, like 18 different careers. It seems like, but I still love what I do. I came back to veterinary medicine because I missed it. I missed it a lot. And I miss working with the people, and you've got to love working with people. You got to love what you're doing. The best way to love what you're doing is continue to learn. The more, you know, I bought this pen of it, you know, what was I going to do that for? You know, but I really felt like it was going to help us. I really thought it was going to make a difference. Look at it, you know, learn about it, try it. New drug comes out, you know, you go, will I ever use this? Why do I need this?
Well, and knowing you, you're not looking to try or change just for the heck of it. But you've always been open to, I want to learn all of the new products, the new equipment. You want to know about it, and you want to embrace it if you think it can benefit your patients.
That's
and your
it.
Clients.
If it can benefit, it's worth it.
Right.
You know, if it benefits your clients, yeah, it might be a little bit of expensive, but you got to look at. I looked at the PanVision. It was an investment. I knew it was going to save time. Mm-hmm. I knew that I paid for it in the year that I've had it. There's no question we have. And then, and what it's done for us in saving time, allowing us to do more, we paid for it. And so, you know, you may not pay for it in the first year, but you pay for it in 2 years. It's still a good investment.
Thank you for chatting with me and sharing all your advice and wisdom. And you're not old.
Amen. You're as old as you feel. This morning, I felt pretty old. Well, but no, most of the time, I feel pretty young.
I know a lot of people in this clinic that can't keep up with you. So thank you for doing all right. Thank you, Dr. Mills.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. Join us for more ideas and inspiration on the next All Things Veterinary podcast.